to Colossians, the third chapter, Colossians chapter 3.
We're going to read verses 1 through 11. Colossians 3, beginning in verse 1. Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices, and you've put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Father, I come to you tonight, Lord, again, just asking you that you'll speak to us. Lord, your word is awesome. It's full of life. It continually shows us things that we need to hear. And Lord, you speak directly to our soul. And I pray, Father, your Holy Spirit will do that very thing tonight as we go through these verses. And I pray, Father, that you'll help us do what you've called us to do. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title for chapter 3, basically, in my Bible, is Rules for Holy Living. Now, holy living means being set apart, being different than this world is. And the only way that can happen is if the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of each one of us. Paul says to the church at Colossae, since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. And so the very first part is looking up. I think a lot of times I walk around sometimes just looking down. I don't see things that I ought to see sometimes because I'm just consumed with what I've got to get done, and maybe there's a billion different things on my mind, and I'm thinking about all kinds of stuff, and I'm missing the most important thing. I need to be looking up. I need to just look up for a while. It's amazing what you see when you start looking up. It's amazing what happens when you begin to look up. First of all, when you look up, you can focus on Him. You see, we can focus on who God is. He's our life. The Scripture here is telling us that we didn't have life without Him. He's our life. He's our salvation. He's the one who's done everything for us. So because of that, we can look up and keep our eyes fixed on Him. Paul says that to keep our eyes fixed on Him, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. He's our life, our salvation. He is our Lord. What does Lord mean? It means He's in control and we're not. It means He's the boss. He's our King. He rules over us. And so, when we think about who He is, and we begin to focus on Him, we realize we are getting a different kind of life than we had before. He is our salvation. He's done everything for us. He is the one who's in control. He is the one who absolutely is taking care of us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21 reminds us, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So, what are we keeping our eyes on? Our treasures here on this earth? Things that we think are so important? Or are we keeping our eyes on Him? We need to focus on Him. We need to look up. We need to look up and quit looking at all the things around us. You see, when we focus on this world, it limits our view. Because when we look at this world, all we see are physical things. Basically, we see things that really aren't going to help us grow in our walk and in our faith. It limits our faith when we keep our eyes fixed on this world. We need to be looking up. Paul reminds us positionally that we've died. And in fact, look at, I want to read that part again, beginning in verse 3. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Put it to death. You see, we died. We're hidden in him spiritually. In other words, it's not our life anymore, it's him. As Paul says, it's not my life anymore, it's Christ who now lives inside of me. We are to look up, keep our eyes fixed on God. Then I think we're also supposed to look outwardly. Look out. Not look out like somebody's throwing something at you. But look out. You see, when we realize whose we are, then we can also be looking for those that God has set before us. And we can begin to see clearly. When we look out, we can begin to be truthful about our own self, about our own sin, about the things that are inside of us that we need to confess before God. And that brings us to a place of confession and repentance. You see, if we'll confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. See, our sinful nature, we need to see our sinful nature as powerless. It's dead compared to the life of Christ. And yet, for many people, in fact, I'd say most people, they are so bound up in their sinful nature that they never truly experience the power of the Lord. We need to see things clearly from God's perspective. We need to see things completely. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, we talked about this on Sunday and the Sunday before, when Jesus died on the cross, His blood covered all of our sin. All of our sin. And His forgiveness is absolutely complete. You see, everything that we've done, everything that we will do that is not according to God's law and not walking in faith, every single sin that we've ever committed or ever will commit, it's covered by the blood of Jesus. And He has forgiven us completely. We need to see things clearly and completely and concretely. And so Paul begins to get very specific about the sins of this world. He begins at talking about our earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Sexual immorality is rampant in our society. Impurity, whether you're just thinking impure thoughts or you're acting upon those impure thoughts. Lust is wanting something that you know is not yours. Evil desires, wanting somebody else to trip up, wanting somebody else to fall. Greed, wanting more and more and more, and having a continual lust for more. Angry. Boy, isn't it the way this world is in many sections right now? People are so angry. And then that anger leads to rage. They begin to act upon their anger, and they begin to do things that they shouldn't be doing. Malice, he makes this statement about malice. Malice is meaning is you want to hurt someone else. Slander, with your mouth you want to hurt someone else. Filthy language, lying, all these things he lists out because he knows that in our sinful nature, those are all things that we're quite able to do. He says, listen, we can't continue to be like the world and make a difference. Because if we're just like them, they're not going to see any difference and they're not going to know that there is a difference. So then he commands us or gives us instruction to then look inside. Look inside of each of us. Look at what verse 9 says. Don't lie to each other since you have taken off the old self with its practices. You've taken off the old self. I used to think about this in the same way that we change clothes. Like when something gets dirty, we take it off and throw it in the washing machine, right? We don't just keep wearing it over and over again. If we do, we're not going to have many friends. But the fact is that we need to take off the old stuff And that means I've got to look and see what is old, what is of the old self, what is of things that do not please God. He's made us brand new. So I'm ready to put on my new clothes. I'm ready to be clothed with Christ. I'm ready to be clothed with His love, with His peace, with His joy, with His forbearance and patience. I'm ready to be clothed in Him. You see, when Paul reminds the church at Colossae, he reminds them that we are brand new. We are set apart. God has set us apart as a new person. We are set apart for a reason. In fact, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 reminds us of that. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. In other words, God, before you were even born, had put a plan into action for us to do what He's called us to do. And these are the good works that He has for us. We need to claim His provision. We're new. We're set apart. And we are created in Christ to do good works. We need to also be clothed with His purpose. You see, it's not good enough to just put on righteous, religious-looking clothes. What it means is we need to become more like Him. We need to become more like Him by talking like Him and walking like Him and thinking like Him and loving like Him and doing all the things that He does. Basically, I call it returning to His image instead of our own. I like what Warren Wiersbe says. He says, we are formed in God's image and deformed from His image by sin. Think about that. We are formed in God's image in the very beginning. God created man in His image. But we've been deformed from that image by our own sin. But through Jesus Christ, we can be transformed into God's image once again. Isn't that a beautiful thought? For me, it's just a reminder that the only way that God's going to use me or use us as people is when we get out of ourselves, get away from our selfishness, our self-wants, our self-desires, everything that He mentions here that can cause so many issues, and begin to walk in the image of Christ. That's what we were made for. That's what God desires us to do. So we need to look inwardly. And then what I call look around. Look at verse 11. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. In other words, we need to begin to see things like He sees. What do I mean by that? Do we look at people and form our own opinions about them based on who we are and what we think they are? Of course we do. But what if we started looking at people like Jesus sees them? See, Jesus looks at every person and He loves them so much that He's willing to do whatever it takes to get them to come to Him. So when we begin to see like He sees, there won't be any barriers. In other words, I won't put people into categories and push them off and act like they don't exist or they're not important or whatever else. And we're so bad at doing that. We can be so separated by political opinions or financial class or jobs or not jobs or whatever else. And we put people into categories. But Jesus doesn't put people into categories. In fact, all through Scripture, we see Jesus gravitate towards people who just have needs. So we need to have no barriers, no differences, no self-built walls around us where we say, no, I'm not gonna affiliate with those people. I'm not gonna go there to this certain place. I'm not gonna, you know, I once heard a guy talking about the fact that every Friday night, he would go stand outside the bars and he would just try to strike up conversations with people that were going into the bars. Now, most of them didn't want to hear what he had to say. But every once in a while, somebody would stop and listen, and Jesus would begin to work in their hearts. God loves them. God loves every single person. We need to see people like He sees them. His look is this. He loves all people. Do you believe God loves every person in this world? Every person. He loves all people. He paid for all people. When Jesus died on the cross, He shed His blood for the sins of the whole world. And He will receive all who will come to Him. See, Paul is just trying to remind the church. Isn't that interesting? He's trying to remind the church what we ought to be doing. Not living like this world. Not acting like this world. Not being deceived like this world. But instead, looking to Him. Looking up for a change instead of looking down. Looking out upon the fields that are white to harvest. Looking inside and claiming what He's done inside of us and His purpose for us. And then look around and see people like He sees them. And I believe these will help us walk in Christ and live in Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Your Word. I thank You, Lord, that every single word You speak to us has a purpose. And I pray, Father, it will take root in our hearts. Take root in my heart. And Lord, I'll quit looking down so much. Looking at things that don't matter. But I'll begin to see things like You see them. And I pray, Father, You'll give me Your eyes. Give me Your heart. Give me Your wisdom. Give me Your desire to see people come to know You. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks.